Praise the Lord. Well, I'm humbled and grateful to be here this morning. And above all, let's receive the Holy Spirit and His ministry and purpose for us being here. Lord, we're so thankful that Your Holy Spirit is at work in a mighty way to transform us into the image of Christ and to make us understand the truth of Your word, and we just receive Your grace on our hearts and minds right now. Lord, speak to us from Your heart to our heart. Yes. And implant within us those eternal promises and our eternal relationship with Jesus Christ. And everyone said amen. Yes. And amen. I've wanted to for many, many years talk about wealth and riches. And of course, because there was such a imbalanced emphasis on that, an overemphasis on material wealth, that just kind of was something that I had a hard time addressing. And so I'm going to address it this morning. And I want to have an opening scripture, two scriptures, and then we'll get into some of the facts about wealth and riches. And 2 Corinthians 8:9, if we could go there, thank you. For we know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, obviously He owned the universe, yet for your sakes He became poor, that through His poverty we might be made rich. So I guess that settles that issue. And then Romans 8:32. He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? Now, the emphasis that we must make on riches is very simple to understand. Riches are in two categories, which you already know this, so I'm not telling you anything new. There's temporal riches and there is eternal riches. And we need to understand the nature of both of them. Eternal riches becomes temporal riches are a stewardship. That's what temporal riches are in this life. They're a stewardship. Okay. They're to be managed in God's will and for God's glory. Eternal riches are an ownership. Okay, now, temporal riches are always changing and they are uncertain. Eternal riches are non-changing and they're always very certain. So, they're an ownership. They can't change. They can't diminish in their potential power and glory. They cannot be taken from us. They are something that we never earned with our own righteousness. They are gifts to us. Okay. And so once you get that established and understand the nature of riches, we don't get confused about them. We understand that Christ purchased eternal wealth for us, and He also provided temporal wealth to be a steward over. Okay, so do you have, is that down now? Okay, so, you know, once you understand that, then it helps you relate to riches and understand riches much better. Now, we've all inherited eternal riches, but our mindset has to be renewed to those eternal riches. And for the most part, it is very hard to comprehend what eternal riches are. Okay, they come by revelation. Even though they are gifts that Christ purchased for us, we must have a revelation of the Holy Spirit to understand them and to put their proper value to them, because they are invaluable. There is no earthly wealth that can purchase eternal riches. And so it becomes a revelation of the Holy Spirit. And I want to talk about a little bit about that today. Earthly riches, obviously, we're not redeemed with corruptible things such as silver and gold, but by the precious blood of Jesus. Okay, no earthly riches can equal the eternal riches through Christ's blood that he purchased for us. It can't be done. Okay. And of course, the world emphasizes temporal riches. And then, of course, they put people in a class as a result of that, if I have more wealth than you, then of course I'm superior to you. And we grow up that way, putting ourselves in a class system of temporal wealth. So let's look at it this way. Christ did become poor that we might be made rich. That's a fact of eternal life. Okay, now you can distort that fact or you can take it out of context, but we are not doing that this morning here. We hopefully are putting it in their proper context. I want that understood. Because if I would tell somebody, well, Christ made me rich, he became poor and he made me rich. That's a fact. There is no way you can get around that eternal truth. It is the truth. It is the truth. So now if I say I'm rich with someone with a carnal mindset or a temporal mindset, they would think, well, you see what I'm saying? It could be very much misunderstood, but it is still in God's economy and in God's eyes the truth of redemption. You are rich and I am rich because we have been redeemed by the blood of Jesus, and he has purchased, okay, the benefits of our salvation. That's not going to change. Now, if someone misunderstands that, that's their problem, not ours. Okay. So the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of eternal riches, and he is on the inside of us. We have that Spirit. Okay. We have that Spirit. You have the Spirit of eternal inheritance, and it is on the inside of you. It can't get any closer than that. You just now must understand your inheritance and renew your mind to it. Okay. Someone said, well, I don't feel rich. Well, okay. We don't go by feelings. We go by facts. And that's why, I told somebody this morning, I was just teasing them a little bit. I said, don't ask me how I feel anymore, because I'm going by facts.
Hallelujah. Amen.
Okay. I'm redeemed by the blood of Jesus. I'm redeemed spirit, soul, and body by the blood of Jesus.
Hallelujah.
That's the fact of life. Okay. And so don't ask me how I feel, because there are days if I went by that, I would say I feel pain. I feel terrible. You know, I don't want to magnify that. So if you say, I don't feel rich, too bad, you are rich.
Hallelujah.
In Christ. Get over it.
Hallelujah.
Renew your mind to it and accept the reality of it. Okay. The truth is not a feeling, I'll say it again, but it is a fact. All right. You just don't have the facts, or you just don't understand the facts. All right. So eternal riches, and I don't know how far I'll get through this message, but let's talk about eternal riches, which we can, of course, cannot be valued in temporal riches. I said they can't be valued in temporal riches. I'm not downing temporal riches, but eternal riches can't be valued in temporal riches. Can't be done. If you took all the wealth, all the temporal wealth of this creation, you know, what would that equal? We probably can't calculate it in human terms, but it would never equal the salvation of one soul. Think about it for a minute. It would never equal the salvation of one soul. It would never be able to purchase the salvation of one soul. Now, that's incomprehensible, but I'm just trying to put it in a context to help you understand the difference between eternal and temporal riches. I'm not downing temporal riches. I'm just telling you that they will never, ever, ever come close to equaling eternal riches. It's impossible. It won't happen. I'm grateful for Jesus' blood, but you cannot put a price on it. It is priceless in its wealth. Okay. I love the blood of Jesus.
Hallelujah.
So it's something we don't have to try and earn. We don't have to try and earn it. Don't struggle trying to earn something you can't earn that Jesus purchased. And I'm going to show you in a minute that it's a gift. Jesus already purchased eternal riches through his precious blood. Get over it. You know, we have a mindset in the world that you have to earn everything to have anything. And of course, there is a little bit of truth to that in the temporal realm, but not in the eternal realm. Okay. And it is true that we need to grow in our knowledge and our mindset and our heart condition of the inner reality of what God has done. It just isn't automatic. You've got to renew your mind to the truth. And none of us in this lifetime will ever fully renew our mind to the reality of eternal riches, all right? Eternal riches, just like God, always were and always will be, because they emanate from the nature of God. They were not created. They always were and always will be, just like God always was and always will be. Okay, can't comprehend that either, can we? We receive them and live and walk in them by faith. All right? Being made rich is to possess eternal riches, a renewed heart and mindset. I'm eternally rich. You can wake up in the morning and you can thank God every morning that Jesus Christ made you rich.
Amen.
It's all right. It's all right. It's the truth. And you need to have that mindset, okay, in your life. Don't go around acting like you're a pauper.
Come on.
It's a renewed mindset, and your heart needs to be fixed on it. My heart is fixed, okay, and that's the whole problem sometimes with our relationship with God and the things that he promises. Our heart isn't fixed on them. We're not settled in the issue. We're not trusting in the truth. And so we are wavering in life and unstable about the truth and what God says. Do you understand that? There's where your struggle is. Your heart is not fixed. Okay, Psalm 57:7 says, "My heart is fixed, O God. My heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise." Okay, that heart is a fixed heart, is an established heart in which the truth is set within that heart.
Amen.
Okay, get fixed.
Amen.
Get fixed. All right, Psalm 108, verse 1. "My heart is fixed, and I will sing and give praise even with my glory." Okay, now I'm going to tell you something about life. It's always changing. And as a result of the things that are changing in our life, we end up being affected in so many different emotional ways that, you know, but there's two things for certain that don't change, and that is Jesus Christ and his promises.
Amen.
Jesus Christ, when I feel lonely, when I feel lost about life itself because of its changing nature, I can always stop and start to commune with the one who never changes and whose promises never changes. I don't want to be just living emotions over the changes that are rapidly taking place in life. I want to have a heart that's fixed, that understands the nature of God's eternal nature, and that Jesus is always going to be there and he's always going to be the same. Maybe people will die. We will lose things. We will come under conditions where things have changed. Governments change things. Earthly governments that were subject to change things. But God never changes. And you can always go to him.
Amen.
And spend time with him.
So
have a heart, learn to have a heart that is fixed on the facts. You could tell me, well, I believe in God. Well, what do you believe about him? That isn't going to, that's not going to get anywhere.
Amen.
A lot of people think just because they believe in God, they're going to die and be with God, and they don't have a clue as to the facts of redemption. Hello, somebody. Don't tell me you believe in God unless you can back it up.
Hallelujah.
With an understanding and a faith in what you really believe about God.
Hallelujah.
Hello, somebody.
Come on.
So the spirit of wealth is on the inside of you, and sometimes we don't know that because Christ dwells in our heart by faith. Start thanking God for the promise of the Holy Spirit. You are, Christ has made, I don't like to say you are, but I like to say Christ has made me rich. Christ has made you rich. We'll put it that way. I don't want to say I am. I want to glorify him as the source of the reason that I am rich. I'm rich. You know, some people spend their whole life struggling to get rich, temporal riches. And sometimes they gain the whole world, and yet they lose their own soul in the process of trying to gain that. Okay. The struggle for us is over. Now, when it comes to temporal riches, there are blessings that God guarantees, and then if you want to go into other responsibilities to increase your riches, that becomes something God leads in your lifestyle and action. There's a difference. You're not going to just go like the New World Order wants to do. They want to give us universal income. Is that what it is? They want to give it. Sounds really good, but you're going to have to sell your soul to these evil people under Satan to get that. Sounds really secure, but they own you. They own your thoughts. They own your actions. They own what you're going to do. It's already going on in China, but I'm just saying that you're a slave to a system that, in the end, if you trace it back to where it comes from, the world system, it's under Lucifer and his government. That's Bible prophecy. All right. Now, let's look at Romans 5:17 for just a moment, please. Do you still have a few minutes to spend with me? Now I want to get into the message. I want to talk about riches. Romans 5:17, for by one man's offense, death reigned by one. Just think about that. And I don't want to get into preaching on that, but death came on all men. Okay, all men have to overcome original sin and its consequence. The deception is that people think they can do it in their own righteousness. Much more. Say much more.
Much more.
Say much more.
Much more.
You see, because God's work in Christ is much more than Satan's work in Adam.
Hallelujah.
Let me let you understand that God, in his abundance, is a much more God.
Amen.
He's a much more God. Much more. Redemption provided much more beyond what original sin provided. Much more. Much more. Much more. God's riches are much more. They will. They far exceed the work of sin and death.
Hallelujah.
All right. Let's get that point across.
Hallelujah.
Okay. It far surpasses. So much more. They. Everybody say they.
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 They. See, this is a big revelation, by the way. They. it's way more than what you think right now. They, because I'm going to tell you something about salvation. God is no respecter of persons.
Come on.
But you grow up with, the moment you're born and you begin to grow up, you're under a class system. Hello, and you're this thing is so strong in you that you live and die, even as a Christian, never getting out of a class system, okay? All the elite, all the, it goes up in classes by what? By wealth. Okay, so you got millionaires or you got multimillionaires and you've got billionaires, and there are trillionaires, you just don't hear about them, they're there. Okay, and that's the system we live under. It's a material wealth status.
Amen.
And that's how you live, and that's how you think, and that's how you breathe. Because people don't have a concept that all these unsaved people that have this elitist status don't even have any eternal wealth.
Come on.
Hello, somebody. And so we're intimidated by material status. That's what we are intimidated by. That's what we live by. And it's all a deception.
Hallelujah.
Okay. Okay. You are not a second-class citizen in the kingdom of God. You
Hallelujah.
Are, God is an equal opportunity God.
Hallelujah.
We got to renew our mind to that, or you're gonna feel less than what redemption made you.
Come on.
Help me, somebody.
Come on.
Everybody say they.
They.
You are they. You, God is no respecter of persons.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. He looks at all of us equally. Okay. Everything turns equal at the foot of the cross.
Hallelujah.
Okay, now I'm not going to be a victim of, I guess they would probably call somebody like me poor or second class, you know, or middle class. They won't say second, but they'll say, is that what they use, middle class?
Pretty much
middle class. And they're trying to take that status away and make you a slave to universal basic income. It all sounds good, but I got news for you. God's got a universal eternal income.
Hallelujah.
if you understand what Pastor's saying. So they say they. All right. Acts 10, 34 and 35. Let's just look at that real quick. You still got a few minutes with me? Then Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. You know, coming out from under the law, you had all these, that, you know, all this status stuff where Jews couldn't receive Gentiles because they were dogs. And of course, salvation changed all that. So God is no respecter of persons. Let's just look at verse 35. But in every nation, he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted of him. God will accept someone on the basis of Christ and his righteousness. Okay, too bad whether you like me or not. You know, it really is. It's too bad. Your rejection of me has nothing to do with God's acceptance of me whatsoever. Okay. Not at all. Doesn't matter what color you are. Doesn't matter what nation you live in. Okay, you're accepted by God in Christ's righteousness. Okay. All right. There is no such thing as prejudice in the kingdom of heaven.
Amen.
There is no such thing as skin color. We all came out from under Adam, and there's such a terrible struggle in this nation, especially among Christians, over this nonsense because it's being foamed by a bunch of lies.
Amen.
it's being fomented, and people buy into it, and they're living in a defensive state about their color. And that's a bunch of nonsense in God's eyes, because we're all equal in Christ.
Amen.
I've never been prejudiced in my life. I'm not saying that in a state of pride. I don't have prejudice against other people's nationality or color. That's a spirit. That's a spirit of Satan.
Amen.
That's a fallen spirit.
Amen.
Well, we better get away from that. And Romans 2:17, behold, thou art called. No, that's not the one. Okay, sorry about that one. And I should have had, I laid there this morning. I said I should have checked that scripture. 1 Peter 1:17, we'll try again. Maybe we'll hit it. Okay, and you call on the Father who without respect of persons, judge according to every man's work past the time of your sojourning here in fear. God doesn't respect people, but he does respect their faith. And then James 2:19, let's just look at one more. Thou believest? Okay, that's not the one either. So we got two out of four. We got two out of four. God help us. A lot of times when I write things down, that is a good one, but they're all good in their proper context. Much more, say it with me again, much more. Point one, point two, They. You are they. You are one of the theys.
Hallelujah.
You are one of the theys that received.
Yes. Hallelujah.
Okay. They that what? Receive.
Receive.
Okay. Now, you've got to learn, you know, I can't do a whole teaching on receiving, and I think that's where a lot of us fall short of God's glory or obtaining the promise and realizing the promise is that we don't really know how to receive. Well, yeah, I believe in God. Well, what do you believe about God? You will only receive something when you define it and understand it. And that's the problem with most people. They don't define it, and they don't even understand what God has provided. Yet they say they believe it. Yet they say they believe it, but their belief is dead. Okay, it's dead faith. Okay. Be certain from Scripture exactly what promise you are receiving. Okay, if you can't quote something in the mouth of two or more witnesses, you don't have any faith in that. Okay. Examine the details of Scripture and renew your mind upon them. And that's why we don't receive. We have no faith in what we don't know. And we just say, well, I believe it. Well, what do you believe? Okay. Well, I believe in my parents' religion. Well, forget all that. That ain't going to save you.
Amen.
So we need to do a whole teaching on basically on receiving and how to receive. And I'm not going to do that this morning. But, okay, they that receive. So say it with me. Much more.
They that receive.
That's point three in our text. They that receive. There's receivers and then there is deceivers.
Come on.
There's receivers and then there is deceivers. They're deceived into believing they believe something when they don't even know what they believe.
Come on.
All right?
Come on.
They that receive the abundance of grace. Now, I'm going to tell you something about God's eternal riches. They're unlimited. When we think about the abundance of grace, how could grace in and of itself ever run out?
Amen.
It's unlimited.
Amen.
There's way more than you're going to need.
Come on.
And what God has promised in his eternal riches is so abundant that it could never possibly not be enough.
Amen.
Hello, someone. Okay, that's good scripture. They that receive the abundance of grace. Now, do you have an abundant mentality? Do you have an abundant mindset? Because God's riches are so great, how could we not have an abundant mindset? How could we not have an abundant mindset unless we didn't understand them? Okay. So we need to renew our mind to God's provision, and we must become abundant-minded. God's grace is unlimited. There is nothing that God's grace is not available to us for, to provide for. Okay. You see, it's hard for us to comprehend all this, isn't it? And I'm not trying to belittle you. I'm trying to wake you up.
Amen.
To the riches that you already have. I'm trying to wake you up to it. I'm trying to wake myself up to it. I'm
Hallelujah.
Trying to understand it.
Hallelujah.
You are so rich. I don't want to say filthy rich, but sometimes that's a good statement too, because temporal riches can make a person filthy rich.
Come on.
There you go. Filthy movie.
Your garments and your gold and silver are moth-eaten. And you got them in a way that you're going to stand before the judge of heaven and earth and give account for it.
Come on.
And you've ruined your reputation to get them.
Come on.
And you've taken advantage of the innocent to get wealth that was intended to glorify God and be used for his purposes. You want to be that kind of person to take advantage? I was talking about someone that just recently died, and I'm not going to use their name or anything. They came to the Lord in that, but somebody had just said they got everything they got by cheating people. Okay, that can be a temptation. But there is nothing at the end of their life that will have any eternal reward. See, that's one of the mismanagements of temporal wealth. We need to use it to glorify God, okay? Or it isn't used right. Okay, so we're talking about the abundance of grace. Abundance. Say abundance.
Abundance.
Abundance. Abundance. Wake up in the morning in abundance. Go to bed in abundance. Live in abundance, because you are the spirit of abundance in Christ. And then the gift. They that receive the abundance of grace and the gift. Say gift.
Gift.
And look what people do in religion. They spend their whole life struggling to try and earn salvation, earn God's favor, earn God's gift, when self-righteousness will never achieve that purpose.
Amen.
Never. Okay. You're not self-righteous. There's a battle between being self-righteous, which the Bible says your self-righteousness is as filthy rags. It'll send you to hell. You can be a wonderful person in self-righteousness and still die outside of Christ's righteousness. Okay. They that receive the gift, say gift. See, eternal riches cannot be earned. The riches of salvation was what? Purchased by Christ and his blood, right? Amen. We glorify God and receive them knowing they can never be received through self-righteousness. Amen. Never. Impossible. So we're to celebrate them and enjoy what he's already purchased and what we already have. Whether we understand it or not, we need to grow in the knowledge of it, right? Amen. It's a gift. Righteousness is a gift. Grace is a gift that can never be earned, but that we need to be able to stand before God without the condemnation and guilt and shame. Gift of righteousness. They that receive the gift of righteousness, say the gift of righteousness.
The gift of righteousness.
And the struggle in the world is about trying to get through life with self-righteousness. Struggling to be righteous. Struggling to be better than other people. Struggling to gain acceptance through self-righteousness. Struggling to be in a class above others through our own righteousness. It's like the story of the sinner and the publican, which we probably won't get into now. What a price could be paid, put on Christ's righteousness compared to our righteousness? Okay, what price could be paid? Only the blood of Jesus. Sometimes people spend a lifetime using their earthly wealth to try and gain acceptance. Okay. So as I said, we could take all the value of the earth's wealth and it could not ever be enough to equal the salvation of one soul. And we just have to really be careful that we don't use earthly wealth as a means of wanting a status instead of a service. And that's where I really got kind of turned off. And I'm not going to mention any names or everything, but it turned into a status symbol. Okay, where, you know, this whole network of preachers, it was all about status and not service. It was about, I've got more than you now, so you need to be in my club. Okay, and I saw that. Now, I don't want to live in condemnation about preachers and that, but it turned into that. Okay, and then one, the lower status would give to the higher status, and he would become greater. And it was almost like they were glorifying a man.
Yeah. Come on.
Yeah. Come on. Please. Okay. But I saw all that. And, you know, I didn't want to be condemning. You know, we live in a culture where we develop superstars.
Come on. Come on.
We got to have our superstars.
Come on.
Did you ever see Elvis Presley's biography? Now, I'm not downing Elvis Presley, but I mean, he was one of the most worshipped human beings on this planet. He was one of the most famous human beings on this planet. And a very religious man, but he was searching in his life, and he was getting into all the different religions, Buddhism and Hinduism and Christianity and so on and so forth. And then all of a sudden, he just got into this situation where he didn't want to be faithful to his wife, but he wanted to run around with all these different women, which his wife let him do. But he never, it was a tragedy. I believe the Lord was really trying to draw him, and he died in his sins. To this day, we glorify that man. Oh, yeah. People in the world glorify that man. But where is he now?
Come on.
Having died in his sins,
come on.
Where does his greatness get him now that he didn't turn towards God and humble himself and say, wait a minute, I'm married. I have a wife and I have children. I have a daughter.
Come on.
What did he do to them?
Come on.
And his wife herself said he never got past his immorality.
Come on.
Okay, I'm not saying that, but we glorify this man. He is the most glorified man of the 20th century. And yet, the example that he set, would you really want to follow before God? Okay, I'm just bringing out a point to you here. I'm not mad at Elvis Presley. I'm just sorry that he died in his sins. It's a tragedy. It's a tragedy. Well, why did I say that? I guess I just used an example. But it's a tragedy when earthly status takes over among preachers and circles of preachers. I'm not going to judge their salvation, but I saw it, and it turned me off to preach anything on prosperity because it was such a distorted message. Okay, so I had to get that out of the way. We're going to close here in a moment, but so they that much more they, say it with me, much more they that receive the abundance of grace
and the gift
of righteousness. Now, where does it end? It says, they shall reign in this life. Now, that in itself is a whole teaching by itself. Righteousness gives you the boldness of God's acceptance. You want to talk about status? Talk about the status of Christ's righteousness.
Yeah.
Talk about that.
Yeah.
Because that doesn't involve pride. That involves thanksgiving that you have been made righteous by the blood of Christ. Okay. There is no pride in that. There is total humility to believe that Christ could give his own righteousness. Oh my God. What riches are involved in righteousness? Okay. I don't have time to get into it right now. I've got a whole list of the reality of righteousness and that we've been made righteous and Christ became our righteousness.
Amen.
And the work of righteousness. Oh my God, this is how could we be more rich than to be made righteous, to be accepted by God without, he looks at us without sin and guilt. Folks, we don't know what we've got. Okay. So the eternal wealth and righteousness is uncomprehendable. And I deal with I have the parable of the self-righteous. in Luke 18, 9 through 14. I'm not going to read that, but that's this whole struggle of life. People promoting themselves and exercising self-righteousness, thinking that that is going to save them in the end. And then, you know, Isaiah 64, 6 says, our own righteousness is what? As filthy rags. They're clothed in filthy rags. That's the best they can do when they're not saved. And then it just says that they that receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness, and I'm going to have to close without getting into all the scriptures on it, but maybe we'll do something like that next week, I don't know, shall reign in this life by one Jesus Christ. You know, reigning has nothing to do with being a big shot and being over people. That's what unrighteousness does. And so I had, you know, a bunch of scriptures on reigning. That obviously we reign over the world, the flesh, and the devil. Oh, what a message that is. We're such victims of the world system. And we're not free from it. And we're subject to it. And we're deceived by it. That's Bible prophecy, folks. And we just go along like sheeple under Satan's control of leadership that is promoting a bunch of nonsense. And when I say nonsense, I mean nonsense. And we believe all that stuff. Don't get me going. Okay, but we've overcome. We're to overcome the world, the flesh, and the devil. By the blood of the Lamb we overcome, and we love not our life unto the death. And then, of course, we're in a state of perpetual spiritual warfare, and we reign with Christ over principalities and powers. See, these are there is so much in these scriptures that I can only touch on them in one message. I broke down the one scripture, and now I've got another, you know, five or six messages out of those that just need to go into much more detail of them. Okay. Hallelujah. Do you understand what pastor's trying to say? You know, Romans 5:17. Okay, now I broke that down into I think I broke that down in about 7 points. Okay. And that to me explains the nature of eternal riches. But anyway, we'll keep at it next week. How's that? We'll look at eternal riches again next week. I want to do a little series on them anyway. And so you can stand up now, realizing that you can walk out of here realizing that you're rich. you didn't even know it, but you're rich. Christ made you rich. You're not the peon the world tries to make you. You're rich. Act like it. I don't mean in a proud way. I don't mean it that way. But use the authority of it to walk in it. Amen. Hallelujah.